Welkom bij de podcast Toppublicaties van Medische Oncologie, het ledentijdschrift van de NVMO. In deze serie gaan we in gesprek met onderzoekers over hun publicaties in internationale vaktijdschriften. Mijn naam is Hans Westgeest en ik ben internist-oncoloog in het Amphia Ziekenhuis in Breda. In deze aflevering hebben we professor Tony Choueiri van het Dana-Farber Cancer Institute te gast. We kennen hem als eerste en laatste auteur van verschillende landmarkstudies bij nierkanker, waaronder de adjuvante studie KEYNOTE 564 en in gemetastaseerde setting onder meer de CLEAR, de CheckMate 9er en de Javelin Reno 101 studie. Vandaag spreken we hem over de COSMIC 313 studie, een studie die nog geen directe impact heeft op onze dagelijkse praktijk. Of oordeel ik dan te snel? We gaan het horen. A warm welcome to you, Professor Choueiri. To introduce you briefly, this morning I had a chat with my wife and she asked me what I was planning to do today, and I said I'm going to interview the Lionel Messi of kidney cancer research. It's an honor and a real pleasure to discuss with you a free trial that was published in the New England Journal of Medicine last May. You. The full title of the publication was Cabozantinib plus Nivolumab and Ipilimumab in Renal Cell Carcinoma. Can you please tell us something about the outline of the trial?
Here trying to embark on the next generation of trial, since combination of two drugs is currently standard in kidney cancer. We try to add third drug and compare it to a doublet. So nivolumab, ipilimumab is an established combination of what we call IO-IO, PD-1, CTLA-4. So we added the VEGF inhibitor, the targeted agent, cabozantinib, patient with intermediate and poor risk, untreated metastatic clear cell renal cell cancer, were randomized to receive nivolumab plus ipilimumab versus the combination of nivolumab, ipilimumab plus cabozantinib at 40 milligrams once a day. The primary endpoint was progression-free survival, and the secondary endpoint were your usual culprit of overall survival, toxicity, and others.
Okay, and can you tell us about the main results?
Yeah, after a median follow-up of close to 20 months, the combination triplet, the experimental arm, was superior to the doublet and resulted in a hazard ratio of progression, a hazard ratio for progression-free survival of 0.73, 27% decrease in the risk of recurrence or death with cabozantinib compared to the combination that didn't get cabozantinib. This was statistically significant and we believe clinically relevant.
Yeah, congratulations with that. It's always nice to have a trial being positive. And can you tell us something about the response rates?
Yeah, so response rate were numerically higher in the triplet, but a bit disappointing. They were not significantly higher in the triplet, neither the complete responses. You know, many reasons for that. The kidney in place, a lot of patients had kidney in place in this trial. This trial occurred after the Carmina study. So that could be reason for sure. And in addition, the toxicities, some of the toxicities, especially the hand-foot-skin reaction, which is kind of expected with cabozantinib, but also the liver function test toxicity were higher with the combination. There was no, at first interim analysis, this was in the press release, there was no difference, no statistical difference in overall survival overall. And we continue to look at overall survival on this study.
And you were also involved in the CheckMate 9er. And I looked it up, and I was a bit disappointed about the results of this trial, because you cannot compare those two studies, of course, directly, but still sometimes we do it. And if I looked, I must say the response rate and the progression-free survival were in the same range, I would say, of nivolumab cabozantinib alone, when you compare it to the triplet.
This is totally fair to say. I think overall, we have to remember that patient with treated on the 9ER study had good risk also. So they included patient over 20% had AMDC favorable. That is not the case with COSMIC-313 that only had patient with intermediate and poor risk. So that's one of the reasons that could explain these results.
And then you said something about the toxicity. I read some letters after the publication of the trial, and that was also pointed out by some other groups. Can you tell me something of your own experience? What is the problem if you encounter, let's say, liver toxicity in this blinded trial?
I mean, this is a great question, and this was one of the issues overall in the study, is that liver function toxicity could be due any of three drugs. It could be to ipilimumab, it could be to nivolumab, but also it could be to cabozantinib. Of course, the mechanism and mechanism of action of the toxicity and the management will be quite different. The one with cabozantinib would need mostly to hold the drugs, and the LFTs will get better. The one with nivolumab and or ipilimumab would not need that, would need the steroid, which is hard to know. There is nothing clinically or at least blood work that could separate these toxicities. It just doesn't exist. So, so this was hard. It depends a lot on the suspicion. It depends a lot on the magnitude, but also invariably what we have done is stopped the cabozantinib and seen what happened. And many times we continued the immunotherapy just to see what happens. But it was very hard. And I would assume that one of the risks why the immune-related events were higher is that then what we expect with nivolumab and ipilimumab alone from other studies, it could be two reasons. One, that cabozantinib potentiates the immune-related adverse event caused by PD-1 inhibitors and CTLA-4 inhibitor, that is not correct. That's unlikely to be the case. And why would it be the case just for liver function test? We feel that the most likely explanation is the fact that when you have LFTs elevation, I'm just taking LFTs elevation. Another example is, of course, the diarrhea. That could occur in both. When these happen, you consider as an investigator that doesn't know which one is due to what, you would consider that this is related, immune related until proven otherwise, because normally these are the ones that probably are the most, I would say, I wouldn't say dangerous, but the most relevant. And the one where you need to keep an eye on. So that's why I think what at the end of the day happened.
And do you think that it led to over-treatment or overuse with steroids?
Absolutely. I strongly believe that.
And that can then maybe also be a mechanism that maybe suppress the results a bit.
That's correct. Although I'm not too sold on that, that steroid, suppress immune response, etc. I think the jury is out there. It does suppress the immune response. Doesn't mean it suppressed the effect, the clinical benefit from immune checkpoint inhibitor. Many of these studies were retrospective. We're talking in general. And I would argue that many of these studies didn't take into account how sick the patient are, and they wouldn't anyhow tolerate or get any benefit from immune checkpoint inhibitors. Mm-hmm.
And if you could run the trial again or design the trial again, would you still stick to the double-blind design, or is this a reason maybe to do it open label?
I mean, there is a reason to do, I would say, open label, although when the, I would say, toxicity happen on the triplet, how would you know this is cabozantinib? You know, only in retrospect when you stop the cabozantinib and things get better.
And then one other topic I would be happy to discuss with you is the sequential treatment. That is a problem, I think, in a lot of present time trials run all over the world. And cabozantinib, of course, is an active drug in kidney cancer. So I would say if you do a trial in first line and you introduce cabozantinib as the drug that is investigated, should the sponsor take care that you get it in second line or thereafter?
I mean, this is also another great question, and it's a conundrum. I think for cabozantinib, the drug is available in many countries. That's my understanding, and they would get it anyhow. I think if you're trying to look at overall survival, that may muddy overall survival, but, you know, for patient, you know, so what? You know, definitely patients would need that. I do think that if you have in a trial a significant overall survival benefit, because progression-free survival is one endpoint, you know, a significant overall survival benefit early on, I think the trial should be unblinded and usually patient offered, you know, the treatment, especially if they don't have access to it. In my place, I'm lucky I have access to it. I don't have problem, but around the world, that's not an option here. But in this situation, it was a progression-free survival, which was one of two important endpoints.
Yeah, so I think we agree that if you look at overall survival, you want to know if triplet regimens are better compared to subsequent treatment and not compared to no treatment. I think that is the problem that we discussed.
I agree. There are some statistical, you know, methods to just get us to look at the impact of subsequent treatment, etc. I don't think these are having, you know, significant traction overall, and they are telling folks that, hey, well, this is why overall survival wasn't achieved because of subsequent treatment. It's not happening. But at the end of the day, we should always do what is right for the patients.
Yeah, I think we want to end and to conclude it. What is your opinion? We have the first results now of this triplet therapy. Do you think this is the future?
I think because we don't have a biomarker, I think the future is triplet therapy, whether we have to look and see overall survival. I do think there are other triplet therapies being considered. One of the issues with COSMIC 313 is managing the toxicities and proving that all the endpoints are going in the right direction. Obviously, response rate is only just numerically higher, and overall survival is to be seen. I think when you give drugs, more and more drugs that may cause more toxicity and especially are more expensive, someone is paying, okay, government, patients, someone is paying. You want to see more of these efficacy endpoints. So if the four, I would say that we like the PFS, OS. OS is the gold standard. PFS, overall response rate, and CR, you want to see more of that. And hopefully without, you know, the toxicities are manageable without a significant impact on quality of life. We don't have that hopefully yet in COSMIC 313, but hopefully it will come at some point.
Well, thank you very much. Very interesting to hear your thoughts as one of the researchers. We're looking forward to more results. Thank you, Tony.
Thank you. Have a great day.
En zo besluiten we het interview met Tony Choueiri. En ik ben positief verrast over de manier hoe hij praat over deze trial. Er zit natuurlijk heel veel werk in en de resultaten zijn aan de ene kant positief. Aan de andere kant erkent Choueiri ook heel duidelijk dat niet alle eindpunten zo positief zijn zoals hij had gehoopt. Op dit moment denk ik dat we kunnen concluderen dat trippeltherapie in de eerste lijn bij het gemetastaseerde nierselcarcinoom nog niet de nieuwe standaard gaat worden. Maar ik hoop heel erg dat we veel zullen leren uit de resultaten die nog gaat komen uit de COSMIC 313.
Wilt u geen enkele aflevering van deze serie missen? Abonneert u zich dan in uw favoriete podcast app. Dan krijgt u een melding zodra er een nieuwe aflevering beschikbaar is. Een uitgebreidere selectie van wetenschappelijke publicaties op het gebied van oncologie vindt u op medischeoncologie.nl/toppublicaties.